State Government Finance Committee Veterans Affairs will come to order. First item on the agenda is House File 2556, Representative Newton. The bills before us today reflect the work of Representative Newton's Select Committee on Veterans Housing. The plan is to hear the bills today, and then one is going to be sent on, and two are going to be held over, laid over. We do not know what the fiscal notes or the targets are going to be, or if. Representative Newton, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move House File 2556. Would you like to have me explain the bill, Madam Chair?
Please.
House File 2556 does several things. The current law prohibits the Commissioner of Human Services from issuing initial licenses for corporate foster care, subject to certain exceptions. The bill provides for an exception for new foster care or community residential setting licenses necessary for the care of disabled veterans or veterans requiring nursing home care in veterans' homes. Current statute also prohibits county agencies from entering into agreements for new group residential housing beds above the Minnesota Supplemental Aid Equivalent Rate, except under certain circumstances. This bill would add an exception for a group residential housing provider operating a board and lodging facility, what's known as a domiciliary facility, with supportive services up to 45 beds. Actually, we're looking at something in the range of 10 to 12 beds, or a chemical dependency treatment program. And then finally, the bill appropriates $250,000 in fiscal year 2015 for grants to conduct a housing needs assessment. The assessment may examine the needs for scattered site housing for veterans who are homeless or in danger of homelessness. The assessment may also examine the need for housing that addresses disabled or aging veterans' health care needs. Currently, we have six communities who have expressed an interest in providing veterans' homes: Montevideo, Wilmer, Brainerd, Bemidji, Preston, and Rochester. So we have a list of communities that are looking at, assessing their housing needs within their community. The bill, as you mentioned, Madam Chair, reflects the work of the Select Committee on Veterans Housing, and it's an agreement that was reached between the committee and the Department of Veterans Affairs is something that is acceptable to both. So with that, Madam Chair, I'll stand for questions, or if Deputy Commissioner Gallucci would like to come down. And because we were sort of the ones that negotiated this.
Representative
Detmer. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I know the Select Committee did their work last summer, and my question is, do we need more assessments to take place, and who would be receiving these grants?
Representative Newton.
Madam Chair and Representative Detmer, the assessments are, being part of the committee, Representative Detmer, there's several communities that expressed an interest in veterans housing. And one of the questions was just how much in depth did you go to assess the real needs in your community? Can you support another veterans home? Is it domiciliary care that you primarily are looking at? Are you looking at skilled nursing care, those sorts of things? Also, the impact on existing nursing homes within the community. So we have six communities that have already expressed an interest in this. There may be more. This provides a grant so that the communities can go out and do that sort of a survey. Thank you.
Madam Chair, and would Assistant Commissioner like to comment on
Commissioner Gallucci.
Madam Chair, Mike Gallucci, Deputy Commissioner, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Healthcare. The agency only has two comments to make, and if you bear with us, the term domiciliary, I just, again, want to make sure that we're always talking the same thing. The domiciliary is under the VA construct of what a domiciliary is and what they are, they treat, and what we do are individuals who do not and have not got the capability of independent living, which I take from this bill to be a little bit different in the construct. And then in reference to the six communities that the representative has mentioned, I just want to impress upon the committee, those requests were for state veterans homes, skilled nursing homes, as opposed to some of these. I realize that the committee and the representative have spoken to these communities in regards to whether or not there is some further consideration that they would like to take, but I just want to impress upon this committee, those applications were initially for skilled nursing facilities. And that's, to that end, we see no issues with this. We encourage the representative and parties to look to see if and explore that avenue. We think it's an important avenue to explore, but we just want to make sure that the constructs of the verbiage is correct.
Representative Denver.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Newton. That this $250,000, would this be applied by community cities or different organizations, MACV, or who would be applying for these grants?
Representative Newton.
Madam Chair and Representative Detmer, it could be any one of those. It could be the communities. It could be the county. It could be Lutheran Social Services, MACV, or a combination thereof. You know, we're looking at, in the bonding committee, Representative Hausman's committee, we're looking at all sorts of alternatives to come up with housing. It could very well be that we continue to go through MDVA.
Yeah.
To have funding similar to what we did at the Radichel homes in Mankato through MACV. Everything on that is open, Representative Detmer. We're just exploring avenues.
Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess just my opinion, I think probably the people would be best qualified to really look into the communities and where these needs might be met would be the agency, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. That's just my opinion. So,
okay, Michael Ash has asked to testify on this bill.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Randy Tesdall, State Adjutant of the Minnesota American Legion. I'd like if we could give permission to the American Legion to wait until after the hearing of 557 to be able to bring their remarks forward at that time. I believe that their testimony is more appropriate to that bill than such as the 556.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Did anyone want to testify on House File 2556? Okay. Representative Newton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I renew my motion that House File 2556 be referred to the Committee on Health and Human Services Policy.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is adopted. House File 2557.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Newton.
House File 2557 also reflects the work of the Select Committee on Veterans Housing and an agreement between that committee and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. There are five issues with this bill. The first has to deal with the Minnesota County Veterans Services officers. And what it provides is that the Veterans Services officers, when they interview veterans coming into their office, that they make them aware of MNsure, long-term care, dental insurance, those types of things. It's not asking them to act as navigators or to help fill out applications for it. It's to provide the information. An agreement that we have with Deputy Commissioner Worlds and the County Veterans Services officers is that we will jointly develop a set of brochures that we'll pass out to all the county veteran services officers so they can give this information to veterans as they come in, just to make sure that they have that information to help them with their planning. The second aspect of the bill, currently state statute authorizes the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs to apply for and accept federal funding relating to Minnesota Veterans Home. And what this provision in the bill provides for is that there's a clear understanding as to the role of the commissioner, the executive branch, and the legislative branch, that any requests for new veterans' homes would go through the legislative branch first and not be submitted directly to the commissioner. Third, the current law establishes eligibility requirements for the state veterans' homes. Currently, non-veteran spouses have the same eligibility as veterans, and they get the same priority in being assigned to the homes. This bill changes that priority. We have a great number of veterans who are on the waiting list, and the Select Committee felt that veterans should be served first prior to non-veteran spouses. So the first category of people for admission are Congressional Medal of Honor recipients, former prisoners of war, Purple Heart recipients, and veterans with 70% or more service-connected disability. Second priority would then go to all other veterans. Third priority would go to non-veteran spouses. And fourth priority would go to Gold Star parents of veterans who have lost their lives in service. The bill further requires that the commissioner review the 2007 Minnesota Governor's Long-Term Care Advisory Commission report, which was a committee that was set up very similar to the Select Committee. And we didn't find out about this committee until towards the end of the hearings on the Select Committee. Deputy Commissioner Gallucci has been very helpful in actually pushing this, and I think we're going to have this report even sooner than we had asked for in our request. I'll let Deputy Commissioner Gallucci speak to that if he wishes. And finally, the bill does some unsession work. It repeals a section of the statute establishing the Veterans Health Care Advisory Council, and under statute, that council was set to expire in June of 2013. So the council currently does not exist, but it repeals that statute. And that's it, Madam Chair.
Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Newton, you know, I'm sure there's some of the veterans organizations are going to be speaking regarding this bill. But, number one, I don't know why we're pushing CVSOs to encourage veterans to sign up for the MNSURE program, and why not just encourage them to sign up for health insurance overall? And I just received the latest figures on the MNSURE. There's just 31,000 commercially marketed enrollees to date. And for the 2014, that's 88% lower than the high fiscal note projected made last year. And 82% lower than the low fiscal note projected. And the MNSURE board revised its enrollment to project it down to 51,000 for all 2014. Now, this may not be something that we want to push our veterans into, because it's a very frustrating program to try to get into to begin with. And I'm just wondering why we want to, are we trying to increase the enrollment into MNSURE or what? But I don't know why we're trying to encourage that.
Representative Detmer, clarification. 31,000, you said, is that 31,000 veterans?
No, commercial. That's 31,000.
Commercial? What do you mean by commercial?
That was 31,000 commercial market enrollments.
Yeah.
That's the latest figures that I got.
I think that was a figure from several weeks ago, but Representative Newton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Detmer. Actually, I agree with you. I think that that we should be looking at all health insurance for veterans, not just MNSURE, but But if they're eligible for MNsure, this brochure will tell them where they can go, who they can contact in order to get the insurance or private health insurance. This is simply to help veterans that come in. Oftentimes, from what I've heard from CVSOs, is they'll ask for one specific thing, but there are other issues that are facing them. And we want to make sure that they are insured, that they've got health insurance, dental insurance, long-term care, if that's something they wish to have, and to provide the information as to where they can seek that. But it's not I made this point very clear to the CVSOs when I met with their leadership. This is not to require them to do the work themselves, not to fill out application forms. It's simply to help the veterans find this if they elect to go with the insurance.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yesterday I was at the Legion in Delano. We had an omelet breakfast that the wrestling club did with the Legionnaires. And kind of a coincidence, or actually my mother would say it was a God incidence, not a coincidence, some of the Legionnaires approached me with this particular bill and had some concerns with it. They found out I was on this committee. I'm only a week old here now, Representative Lesh and I. So I just have some concerns based upon what I've heard from our Legionnaires, our commander, Mike Brandenburg, and several others, really a concern with the wording in your bill, particularly what Representative Detmer brought up in Section 116, that the county shall encourage all veterans to go into MNsure. Now, we know that nothing in this world is perfect, and MNsure is no exception. There's been several problems with MNsure and frustrations from several folks around the state. I'm not sure why you believe it's so important, Representative Newton, to have the commissioner encourage people to go through MNsure rather than just seeking private insurance. So I'm just explaining, not Joe McDonald has these concerns, although I do, but my constituents from Wright County, who I just coincidentally met with yesterday. So they have a grave concern about that, and I'd like to have you respond. And then the second part is the pecking order of veterans that I see, you know, you have Gold Star Congressional Medal of Honor recipients and then former Prisoners of War and Purple Heart Award recipients. So I'm curious, how did that come about, that you have a order of importance of our veterans as to who can get into a veterans home? For example, the spouses are the last person to go. Can you imagine a scenario where a Congressional Medal of Honor recipient is qualified and gets to go into a veterans home, but his wife is not? Sometimes forced to perhaps go into a completely different community, not even the city of Delano or Roseau or wherever. I think that's wrong. That is just plain wrong. Can you please explain why you would have such a thing in your bill on both items?
Representative Newton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative McDonald. Yeah. First, on the MNsure issue. Some people don't have private health insurance, and we have to encourage them to get insurance. I mean, this is federal law. It just so happens that MNsure is the Minnesota version of the Affordable Care Act. And once again, it's not requiring the county's veteran services officer to do anything more than to present individuals with a brochure that will, if they want to get the insurance, if MNsure is a way for them to go, the information is there. Secondly, on the order of preference, when we studied veterans homes throughout the United States, we found that the admission criteria varies greatly. Some homes only permit veterans who have served in combat. Some homes permit only veterans who have received the Purple Heart or are 70% disabled. In looking at this, the Select Committee felt that those veterans who have suffered the most as a result of their military service, whether they were wounded in combat or they were injured as a result of their service, that they should have a priority in going into the veterans' home. And I would like to say at this point that the Select Committee unanimously supported this provision when it was presented to them.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Newton, I thank you for your answer to that, and I certainly I think that's admirable to have a preference, or if you will, of those who deserve it. But it's kind of a dangerous slope. I guess I'd like to hear from the veterans, and I certainly did from my little my district in Delano, that especially their spouses wouldn't be allowed. A veteran gave has given his life over to serve in our country, and some have been at a disadvantage and served more than others, but to have an order that doesn't allow their wives in, I have a grave concern about that. But I appreciate your answer on that, and it somewhat makes sense, but I'm very hesitant on that, and so are the folks in Delano and Wright County. And then just lastly, as far as MNSHR, pushing people through MNSHR, you're right, it is the law, and it's probably incumbent upon the state to encourage veterans that may not have insurance. But why you wouldn't want to encourage our veterans to seek the private sector as well? Why not Simply Benefits in Delano on the corner of River and Bridge? They're self-employed. They pay their taxes. They're a private mom-and-pop shop. I don't know why you would want to just limit it to MNSHR. Why not open it up to all private sector, all the markets? So that's maybe you can answer that. Why push to MNSHR? Why not other options like the private sector?
Representative Newton.
Madam Chair and Representative McDonald, this brochure will give them all of the options. It's just impossible in a brochure to explain every insurance company that's out there, but it can make available a list by county if they wish of local insurance agents.
And then lastly, Madam Chair?
Representative McDonald.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Then is that something that we approve? I mean, is that going to be an amendment to your bill, just to that they encourage veterans to seek all aspects, not just one path?
Representative Newton.
Madam Chair and Representative McDonald, if you'd like to make an amendment, you know, as the bill goes forward, it's going to come back to this committee, I think. No, it'll stay in this committee for layover. But, you know, the important thing is the brochure that's being developed, and Deputy Commissioner Worlds has already started on that, and will be doing that in conjunction with the County Veteran Services Officer. One of the things we're trying not to do is to put an undue burden on them.
Sure.
They already have a lot to do. But at the same time, we want to make sure that our veterans are fully aware of the insurance options that are available to them. Thank you.
Representative Crenshaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I believe, Representative Newton, you answered one of my questions, but Chair Murphy, our intent is to lay this bill over, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so in the spirit of that, and Representative Newton, I absolutely understand your intent, and I know where you're coming from, and you said it, to make them aware and not act as navigators. I'm wondering if we could make this more about the veterans and less about MNSHR by perhaps cleaning up the language a little bit. I'd even offer an oral amendment to say for lines 1.16 through 1.2 that we do, the county veterans service officer shall encourage all veterans covered by this subsection to participate and strike in MNSHR, just to say to participate in and just strike MNSHR, long-term care insurance and dental insurance, and stop at the period and delete the last sentence. You have a great idea of bringing the brochure in. You have all of these tools for them, but why preclude them from having that conversation? I'll give you an example. In my county services officer, they're a block away from a very good small independent insurance guy, and I would love for the county services officer to be able to say, you know what, why don't you go to talk to Tom, who can walk you through to make sure everything you're looking for is covered, so we don't put them in the position, which you also said, of making them navigators. Mm-hmm. So I know we have some time, and I just wanted to... Again, let's make this not about MNSHR. Let's make it about our veterans getting them services.
Good. Madam Chair and Representative Crenshaw, that is acceptable to me. What I would suggest we might do is have an author's amendment.
Let's not right now.
Okay, but it just cover health insurance, Madam Chair, and long-term care. And we can do that.
Representative Crenshaw.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And you know, just going on your word, I know you'll work on this language, so, and I agree with Chair Murphy. We don't have to forge the language here, but we can come back to it with the proper language. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I think the point has been made by three people now about the MNSHR, and so let's drop it. And let's proceed. Representative Benson.
Well, I'd like to talk about... No, I won't do that. Madam Chair, thank you so much. And that MnSure has been covered. I won't bring anything else up about that, except to say that a veteran did tell me he had a problem getting his MS medicine through that. But I'm more interested now in talking about for the lack of a better word, pecking order. And I, you know, we'll call it an order of priority. And you know, I'm assuming I'm not a veteran, and so I'm not going to get into discussion about how you arrived at those things. My only fear with the bill is that I'll have constituents that may have been planning on admittance to it, and if suddenly now it's changed, now suddenly, of course, I see the date on line 2.27 is July the 1st. I'm just kind of worried that that might be too short of a time, Representative Newton, for them to make alternative plans. You know, if this legislation is passed, it looks like it's probably going to be closer to the end of the session because it's going to go through other committees. And then you got a couple of months, and they may be under the impression that very quickly they were going to get in. Now suddenly this is going to change. I just really would like for you to at least consider as this moves through to change that to, say, January 1st of 2015, only for planning purposes, because many families, again, may be expecting that their loved one is imminent. I mean, they're on this waiting list and getting in. So that I have a father-in-law that's 90 years old, a veteran, World War II veteran, in a great nursing home. It took a while to find the right nursing home to get him into, and once we did, I'd hate for that to have changed. So that would be my plea, and that could be done later on.
Madam Chair and Representative Benson, I think that's also a good suggestion.
Thank you, Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm done.
Thank you. Anyone else at the table? All right. Milt Schoen. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Schoen.
Thank you, Chair Murphy and members of the committee. My name is Milton Schoen, and I'm the legislative chair of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and I'm the Hennepin County Veteran Service Officer. As you may know, over 90% of the claims for VA compensation, VA pension, and state benefits are originated by county veteran service officers.
Excuse me, would you say that again, please?
Over 90% of the claims for VA compensation, VA, that's service-connected compensation, VA pension, and state veterans benefits are originated by our county veteran service officers. We're the ones that do that work. In our state, veterans receive over $860 million a year in compensation and VA pension. And they receive over $860 million in VA health care. And if you add those two together, it's $1.7 billion with a B. When our National Guard, Minnesota National Guard troops went to Iraq in 2006, 30% of the Guard and Reserve troops nationwide were enrolled in VA health care. And because of that, our county veteran service officers have gone to the demobilization sites when these troops come back from Iraq and Afghanistan. We've signed up 12,000 Minnesota Guard and Reserve troops for VA health care. In Minnesota, 98% of our Minnesota National Guard troops are enrolled in VA health care. And that's because of the efforts of our county veteran service officers. Person for person, Minnesota CVSOs have done more to reduce the spending for medical assistance than anyone in this state. Last week, President Neil Doyle, the Olmsted County Veteran Service Officer, and Jim Rosberg, the Isani County Veteran Service Officer, and a former state representative, and I, shared our objections to this bill with Representative Newton. We offered to have MDVA produce a brochure and make it available to veterans who would not qualify for VA health care. We tried. The core work of county veteran service officers is obtaining VA service-connected compensation, VA pension, and VA health care and state benefits for our veterans. Our county veteran service officers are rated in the top two or three state systems in the United States. It's interesting to see legislation that changes county veteran service officer duties without the author asking for county veteran service officer input before that legislation is written. Today, two of our Hennepin County veteran service officers and a total of five county veteran service officers are participating in target teams at the Minneapolis Veterans Homes to ensure that the veterans in those homes are receiving all the VA compensation that they're entitled to. Today, I am before you to ask you to vote no on House File 2557. As former Representative Lyle Schwartzkopf said, the best work the legislature does is when it kills bad ideas. House File 2557 has many bad ideas. For the first time, county veteran service officers would be required to assist veterans in obtaining health insurance, long-term care insurance, dental insurance, and CVSO would have to encourage vets to apply for MNsure. Maybe we should do a listening check. Maybe we should look at that statute. Let's see what's in the new Minnesota statute 197.603. We don't say anything specific about helping veterans who have post-traumatic stress disorder or traumatic brain injuries or VA health care or homeless vets. But we do include language for the less than 2% of the veterans regarding MNsure, health insurance, long-term care insurance, and dental benefits. And there are other things in this bill. For the first time, every veteran will not have equal access to the Minnesota Veterans Homes. 70% service-connected veterans would be put to the front of the line. And why would this happen? Because under the Millennium Act, the VA will pay for 100% of the costs of the nursing home care for these 70% service-connected veterans. It's a way of reducing state spending. Well, maybe at the veterans' homes. Maybe for those nursing homes in greater Minnesota who will not be receiving these veterans who will be getting 100% of their care paid for, that might actually drive up medical assistance costs. What you're doing is you're putting veterans with the most resources to the front of the line. I think that's a bad policy decision. I know of no human service program where people with more resources get put to the front of the line when there are limited resources. When you look at this, some veterans are going to have to wait, and they'll probably be placed in community nursing homes. That may increase medical assistance spending. But when you place somebody in a nursing home, and I've done it, you don't want to move somebody once they're in a home. And there's been a lot of talk about the most deserving and the 70% service-connected veterans. Well, I had an uncle who went to North Africa and Sicily and ANZUS, worked his way up the boot. And after I became a veteran service officer, I realized that he had PTSD. He never filed for a benefit. I got a friend of mine who was on an armored personnel carrier in Vietnam that hit a mine. Three people were killed. Two people lost arms and legs, and he was thrown clear. He's got a bad back. He will never file for service connection because he didn't sustain the injuries that his buddies did. I don't think this is good policy, and I just want to thank you for the opportunity to testify here today. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Sproning.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Ronning.
My name is Chris Ronning. I am currently the first vice president of the American Legion Auxiliary and also the legislation chairman. And I live in Maple Grove, Minnesota. I'm here to represent the 40,000 members of the American Legion Auxiliary in Minnesota. We are very concerned with the changes that will affect every veteran in this state by tearing our veteran homes in Minnesota and eligibility to accept our veterans' homes throughout the state. When these men and women put on their uniforms, they became servicemen and women. And upon their return home, they became veterans. We don't classify them by how many years they served, how old they are, and what their status is. We don't ask what their disabilities are, or maybe none. We don't ask if they were in a combat zone. They all served their country, and they are veterans. They didn't ask questions when they were deployed to foreign countries. They just did their duty. Right now, the majority of our veterans in our veterans' home are World War II, Korea, and Vietnam veterans. What about our Desert Storm veterans, Iraq and Afghanistan? What about these young women and women? They also laid their lives on the line. Do they have to wait until they're 65 years of age? We seem to forget there are so many amputees and PTSD problems, especially in women. I'm a wife of a disabled veteran and also a mother of a combat-disabled Desert Storm veteran. Is my son a second-class citizen because of his age? We talk about discrimination at work, schools, churches, and even in our communities. But how about the government? Isn't this discrimination? Why do they think they can make decisions on their own without letting our voices be heard? What happened to the phrase, "we the people"? Don't we have any say anymore when it comes to our veterans and their spouses? Do you have veterans in your family? If so, aren't you concerned about their well-being? Not everyone has the means and resources to go to retirement homes and nursing homes. What has happened to this country? We are more concerned about immigrants than our own veterans. How sad. Why is it when there is a budget cut, it is always the military and veterans that have to suffer? Is money more important than these men and women? Maybe it's time to take care of our own. These men and women have fought for us so we can live in this great country we call America. Have you been to our veterans homes? Have you looked into a veteran's eyes and spoke with them and listened to what their needs are? There is a story behind these eyes and every wrinkle in their face. Sometimes that is all what they need, someone who cares. We elected you, we respect you, but we feel betrayed by you. I hope you will reconsider before you make your decision to tear our veteran homes. We ask you to give our veterans and their spouses a home to go to, regardless of age or disability percentage. We already have too many homeless veterans in this country and do not need any more. Everyone deserves respect and dignity. Please help us. I love this country with all my heart, but please give us our old America back. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ronnie. Michael Ash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Michael Ash. I'm the State Commander for the American Legion of Minnesota. The American Legion, representing 85,000 combat-era veterans in Minnesota, is strongly opposed to the proposed tiering of veterans' eligibility in the state's veterans' homes. We have several objections to this new law. First of all, the tiered system would make second-class citizens out of the average veteran. Shouldn't every veteran in Minnesota have equal opportunity to spend his or her final years in one of Minnesota's outstanding veterans' nursing homes? Every veteran served his or her country. They should all have access on an equal footing. Secondly, it's pretty obvious the money is at the heart of this change. Those with 70% disability bring federal dollars to the table. The state is interested in those dollars. But this is clearly a regressive priority scale. Those on disability already are receiving government medical care and money. It's very much like reverse means testing. Why would Minnesota want to deprioritize those with the greatest needs? Is it simply to bring in federal dollars into our nursing homes, meanwhile harming the average veteran? And thirdly, the bill calls for an effective date of July 1st of this year. There are thousands of people patiently waiting on those veterans' homes lists, and the lists do not include this type of priority information. If this bill is passed next month, how will the state possibly make contact with those people to find out where they stand on the new priority system? The implementation date is completely unworkable. Every veteran has served his or her country, and they deserve an equal opportunity for Minnesota veterans' homes. This is not the time for a regressive means test. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Question? Thank you. Lori Grody? Groats?
My name is Lori Groats. I'm sorry if I repeat something that someone else has said. I had prior commitment this morning, so I was late in arriving. I do agree with what the other people have said about people that have the 70 to 100% service-related disability. Right now, if they do need care, the VA will pay to place them in another facility, so they would not be without a place to stay. If they wanted to go into the veterans' home, they could get on the list at that time and wait, and when their time would come up, then they would get to enter. Again, I do think it's about the money. Right now at the veterans' home for the spouses, they are presently allowed to apply to enter. I believe at the Minneapolis home, there are only 24 openings for the spouses, and currently it's over a two-year wait. Many of the spouses have taken care of their husbands at home for many years. In my situation, my mother took care of my father for 10 years at home before he went into the veterans' home. If this changes and you have the tiered system, the spouses will never be able to get to the top of the list to get into the home because everybody else will be there ahead of them. And you also address spouses now. What about the widows? Now, my father died at the veterans' home 5 years ago. My mother, when the time comes, she may want to get into the veterans' home, although she's 93 and she doesn't think she's really quite ready for it yet. But you don't address the widows also. And so please do not do this tiering. The people at the top, the people now that are entering, don't pit the people against each other. They all have equal need. The ones that need to get into a veterans home, if they have 70 to 100%, they can do it. So, again, I see this is all about money, and it's not about care for veterans and their spouses. So please include the spouses. Don't pass this bill. Thank you.
Ms. Groats,
yes.
You have a daughter?
Yes.
Is that?
My father lived at the veterans home for 2 years, from 2006 to 2008. And my mother, at this time, she would qualify if she wants to go into the home. It is more than a two-year wait for a spouse to get in. So if you tier it the way it is now, when you have a Congressional Medal of Honor veteran, and they get another almost $1,200 a month on top of any other veteran's benefits that they're getting, if they go first, and if the 70 to 100% service rated go first, and if the Purple Heart people go first, and then you've got all the other veterans, there's not going to be any rooms left for the spouses. The spouses will never get to the top. And most of the spouses have been taking care of their husbands so that they didn't have to go into the home. So please do not pass this bill.
But Ms. Groats,
yes.
You say the spouse still has to wait, like your mother's 93 and she's
yes.
not ready, right?
If she applies, yes, she has to wait. But if you do tier it, the spouses will never get to the top because there will be more and more veterans coming in. The beds won't be available for them. And they don't address widows.
Thank you. You were representing yourself as
That's
an individual,
correct.
Right?
That's right. Just myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify? Representative Detmer.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Newton, you, earlier in your testimony, you said that this was the Select Committee unanimously approved this type of legislation. Now, I don't know if there was a roll call. I don't remember a roll call. I am part of that Select Committee. I don't know if it was a meeting that I wasn't there, but I don't recall a roll call that this was something that unanimously was the people that served that on that committee. I just wanted to make that comment.
Mm-hmm. Representative Detmer, I recall the Select Committee, and it was a voice vote, and there were no no's.
So there was no roll call. Okay. And, Madam Chair, will there be some rulemaking that will have to take place if this should happen to pass?
Madam Chair and Representative Detmer, there's always rulemaking. You know, every bill we pass, the department will come up with implementing rules.
Madam Chair, and then Representative Newton, I know Representative Benson mentioned that it should be pushed out to 2:15, and I would suggest that maybe the agency MDVA should probably give you some information what it would take if they had to do any rulemaking.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Nancy Arrieta. I live.
Could we have your spelling on your last name, please?
Arrieta. I live in Eden Prairie. My husband is a resident at the home. I took care of him for over 10 years. A huge struggle. And it did a number. It's been doing a number on me since the beginning. I'm glad he is getting the care where he's at. I want to say that
and
the bill...
And is that the Minneapolis?
It's in Minneapolis. I want to say that this bill, as far as I'm concerned, is very discriminating. I understood that the hiring at the vets' homes, they can't discriminate on hiring, but yet our legislators would seek to actually discriminate regarding who can be in a home and at what level and how soon they can be in a home. I understand that Governor Dayton wants to lower the dollars spent from the state. So I thought, well, I'll be kind of funny and say, let's have a bake sale for every home. Let's have a tea party. If he wants to lower budget, I respect that. But at the expense of the care of our veterans, I would urge that you do not pass this bill. Because, number one, of the discrimination. Then I go on to another part on the bill, a spouse. It says down here that if I was married to my husband at the time he went in the service and it would have been in residence in Minnesota, I would never be able to go into the home, which I am making application for, and go on a waiting list. And the reason why is because he was in Pennsylvania. I wasn't married to him at the time he went in to the service. So that affects me hugely. And it doesn't appear, as I read it anyway, it doesn't appear that I would even be eligible. Okay? And then as far as the dollar amounts, which I understand that the people in priority one, they do get plenty of dollars from the government, from the VA. And, of course, that would go back into paying dollars to the state again. I just would urge at all costs, at all of your hard work that you put into this and the considerations you've given, I would urge you not to go forward anymore and just dump the bill. It's, in my estimation, it is so discriminating that it's like a slap in the face. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Letch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Newton, I don't recall if someone testified as to the number of people on waiting lists now. Can you tell? Do you know what that number is?
Madam Chair, Representative Lesh, as I recall, it's around 700 veterans on the list. I think a total of around 1,100 total on the list, including non-veteran spouses. But Deputy Commissioner Gallucci has the exact figures.
Commissioner Gallucci.
Representative Lesh, the current waiting list as of January is on the active list is 1,049. And on the inactive list, 1,072.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is that for all facilities?
I'm sorry. Yes, that's a total overall. Correct, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Deputy Commissioner, how many beds total in the system?
So, Madam Chair.
Mr. Gallucci.
I haven't been elected. Thank God.
She is good to us.
Yes, she is. Representative, to your answer, the VA authorizes 1,058 beds to the state of Minnesota. It is currently being reviewed. We've asked for a 10% increase given our waiting lists. And currently we have on the books 990 beds that are counted against that. 200 of those beds are considered, without going into a big long one on this, the double count for the construction in Minneapolis. We have both approval for 17 North, which is in demo, 17 South, that's been approved both by the federal government and by legislature in the bonding last year. So they count the future bed against our count. So we have 990 that were accounted for, but we actually put 790 beds that are actively being used.
Okay, thank you. And Madam Chair.
Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner, for answering those questions. Representative Newton, did you have stories when coming up with this prioritized list of reasons why you prioritize it that way? And when you were presenting the bill, I mean, I thought of obvious scenarios where it would make sense. And I'm as much for equality and everything being equal as Representative McDonald, but I also think if it is, in fact, just a first-come, first-served system on that I'm thinking of, when I get older, if I have to go in one of these homes and I sign up sooner than former Representative Creasel, for example, how the number of folks who would think, you got to be kidding me, Lesh hurt himself while screwing around on a table at the Armory, And why is he getting in front of former Representative Creasel? I'm assuming that there are probably stories like that. At the same time, I understand the folks' intent that, no, it be complete, straight-up, first-come, first-serve equality across the board. Do you have scenarios where you saw those situations where injustice resulted, like the scenario I described of me getting a slot in front of former Representative Creasel?
Representative Newton.
Madam Chair and Representative Lesh, no, I don't have incidental studies. What we did look at, however, is what is being done in other states and what the priorities are for getting into the homes. As Deputy Commissioner Gallucci mentioned, we've got roughly 1,100 people on the waiting list. Of that, a significant number are non-veteran spouses. They have equal access to the homes right now that the veterans do. And some other states severely restrict which veterans get into the home so that they are only combat wounded veterans or veterans who have been in combat, whether wounded or not. It varies. We have this report from the Select Committee, and if you go online, you can see, how every state handles it. But that's basically why we went with this priority, is that Minnesota has been very, very generous with this. And until, I would say, around 1968, actually, Minnesota Veterans Homes did not have skilled nursing. They had domiciliary care, which was room and board care for veterans, and nursing home veterans that needed nursing homes went into regular nursing homes. I think it was around 1968 that we actually started going into skilled nursing care, if I recall, around
then. A little bit before my time.
Yeah. That's a younger sergeant major over there.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm.
Representative Leidiger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Newton, my question is really just has to do with with the airing of this report. Is this our first public airing of the bill? This and or has the report gotten out to the various veteran agencies? Can you just shed some light on are we hearing this? Are we hearing the public testimony for the first time here today?
Representative Newton.
Madam Chair and Representative Leidiger, no, we actually had the Select Committee held hearings, and we did have testimony during the hearings. This is the first time these bills have been brought forward. And if you look at the recommendations in the report from pages, I think it's 13 through 16, 13 through 17, there are a lot of recommendations. Deputy Commissioner Gallucci and I went through the recommendations and decided of all the recommendations which ones would go into the bills that were both acceptable to the Select Committee and to the MDVA. A lot of the other things I have to say that the department is actively working on, and we didn't feel that it was necessary to put into the bills. We've had a very good working relationship with the department on this.
Okay. That's what I want. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for those of you that testified. I'm going to lay this bill over. Representative Newton, House File 2757.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Find my notes here. First, on House File 2757, Madam Chair, I have an amendment. I would like to move House File 2757 and then present the A1 amendment. Oh, wasn't it? Did you have them? You don't have copies? Okay, well, yeah, we can do this later. Okay. The amendment evidently hasn't been distributed, so we'll go ahead with the bill. Madam Chair, this bill deals with two of our Minnesota veterans' homes, the Hastings facility, which is known as a domiciliary facility, and the 50 beds at the Minnesota veterans' homes that are domiciliary beds. And for clarification, domiciliary means essentially room and board veterans that, who are free to come and go. Some of them might have outside jobs. They have they're not restricted to the campus. And for some 20 years, approximately, I think it is. No, since 1997, they have been restricted to an allowance of $90 a month to use for their personal needs. As you know, inflation has hit everyone. And so what this bill does is it gradually increases the amounts that the veterans can keep for their personal needs allowance over the next couple of years.
Representative Newton, this basically raises the allowance of the people that are in the domiciliaries.
That's correct, Madam Chair. It adjusts for inflation over the years, and gives them a fair amount of cash to have in their pocket.
And it's a graduated increase.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
For 2015, it would be $114. And what is it now?
It's $90, Madam.
$90. So it would go up to $114. In 2016, it would go up to $122 a month. And in 2017, it would go to $130 a month.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
And the amendment is what?
Madam Chair, we adjust these amounts by the CPI following 2017. The amendment I just gave to Ms. Conley corrects something that was wrong on the bill. The way the bill is currently written, the CPI would actually be reduced rather than increased, and the amendment will make sure that it's a correct adjustment of this consumer price index.
Okay. And I believe Ms. Conley is making a...
She's making copies of the bill.
Copy of that.
Yeah.
Mr. Gallucci or Commissioner Gallucci, what do they do with their $114 a month?
Madam Chair, the $90 that they currently, I mean, that's their travel money if they want to catch the bus, if they want to go and grab some dinner somewhere, if they want to go and their cost to go if they're working someplace and they're trying to move along, if they want to buy a pair of jeans or a Starbucks cup of coffee rather than drink the Joe over at the other place. This represents an increase in the first 6 months of 80 cents a day. You can't even get a cup of Joe for 80 cents a day. You know, this represents $3 a day is what they live on, outside of the food and the bed that we give them and the help there. So at the end of the day, I'm asking for $3.80. That's a little bit more than a Happy Meal. So, you know, I think that over 20 years of not having done anything, this now guarantees the residents of the domiciliary an opportunity that they will see an increase in their allowance so that they can at least keep track with what it's going to cost to get onto a mass transit, buy a gallon of gas, buy a pack of cigarettes, all those things that they buy for themselves.
A beer?
Hopefully not. There's many of them are there for that reason, so we discourage that opportunity, though there are some that will indulge in that.
A latte.
A latte would be appropriate, yes, right. Madam Chair.
Very good. Okay. Representative Newton.
All right. Madam Chair, would it be appropriate for me to introduce the A1 amendment at this time?
Sure.
Okay. Madam Chair, I would like to move the A1 amendment. I think everyone has a copy of it. And as I say, it simply ensures that we are increasing the allowance by the amount of the CPI and not reducing it.
Oh, okay.
If the CPI goes up.
If it goes up, Madam Chair, we can never be sure.
Okay, Representative Benson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair.
On the amendment?
Yes. I just want to make sure that I'm clear that the amendment does change and does exactly what you want it to do. So if I think the CPI went up 1.7% this last year. What this bill, what you're intending to do with the amendment is that it would go up the full 1.7% versus a half of that amount?
That, Madam Chair and Representative Benson, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All in favor of the 7A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment is adopted. Any further discussion? If not, Representative Newton, this bill is laid over.
Good. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Tommy Johnson, did you want to testify on the last bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Tommy Johnson. I'm a resident of Eden Prairie. I'm a member of the Hopkins VFW. I'm speaking for myself. And I decided to speak at the very last minute when Representative Newton was talking about other states do things differently. Indeed, they do, and some states do very little. When I'm looking at this bill and I look at...
You're looking at the...
Or the proposal, 2557.
All right.
And it talks about on line 2.17 on the priority clauses that should be given to veterans with 2 year or to those veterans who lived in the state at the time they entered the armed forces. And what this is telling me, if someone was drafted at 18 or enlisted at 20 or was commissioned in the as an officer after achieving their degree, they could be out of state for the next 20, 30, 40 years, never have come back, never contributed, never have done anything in this state, and come back and immediately jump to the top of the priority list. And when you think about other states that do very little, it's not going to take a lot of time for veterans in other states to find out, hey, move back to Minnesota and jump to the top of the list. Is that really what we want to do? Thank you for allowing me to be heard.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Representative Newton?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Madam
Chair, I think what I said, I'd like to... recommend that we lay over House File 2757.
Yeah, we did.
We're all done.
That's it,
Madam Chair. I have no more bills.
We're all done, but I have a question. I have a query. About the discussion on... It seems to me that most of the conversation today, from what I heard, was about the priority list. And there wasn't a whole lot of people that testified when we had the special task force on how people are selected today. To go, do the residents of the homes are selected today. Do you have the impression that the majority of people are satisfied with the way it's done today?
Madam Chair, I honestly don't know. In looking at what other states do, we tried to come up with the best possible admission policy for admission to the homes. One thing that I have heard over and over again is that we have a shortage of beds for veterans. And currently we have, I think it's something in the neighborhood of 58 of the beds in the veterans' homes that are occupied by non-veteran spouses. I don't want to deny anyone the ability to get into the homes. However, if indeed they are veterans' homes, then the priority should go to veterans. And that was the feeling of the committee. And we didn't hear much discussion of that during the hearings of the committee. I think one person came forward that was not in favor of the priority listing.
And Representative Newton, I think, but we talked to individuals as we were going through.
Yes.
And one of the questions I asked at each of the places I went, and when I went to Silver Bay, too, was I asked the residents if they were Minnesota, if they had been Minnesota residents. And at each of the places, there was at least one or two that weren't Minnesotans. One was from Wisconsin, one was from Arizona, one was from, I think it was Iowa. Mm-hmm. It was closer. But And they were very deserving veterans to be served at those places. But then I've gotten the impression from the people that testified today that that's okay.
Madam Chair, and that was one of the reasons that we have the provision that Mr. Johnson brought up, is that if they entered the service from Minnesota, they may be living somewhere else now. But in reality, in any nursing home, whether it's a veterans home or another nursing home, by and large, veterans or whoever are in the home want to be as close to their family as they can be. They're not going to be in Arizona and try to get up here just to be on the list if their family is still in Arizona. That sort of defies logic. However, we do have cases. For example, I think at Fergus Falls, there were a couple of veterans there that I talked to who were from North Dakota, and it's relatively close, and so their families were still able to meet them. Part of this, what's missing in this entire discussion of these bills is the fact that we are trying to create more housing for veterans, more homes for veterans in the areas where veterans live, smaller facilities, whether they are run by a nonprofit agency, a city, a county, or MDVA. We want to expand the number of locations for veterans to accommodate as many as possible. It's sometimes hard to do when you have the more expensive, larger homes that we've been building in the past. The current home, I think, costs roughly about $54 million. And although it includes things other than the beds in the homes, you know, that's a lot for a 100-bed addition. And so we think that we can do more with state money without having to rely on the federal government to take better care of our veterans and their spouses.
Deputy Commissioner Gallucci.
Madam Chair, committee members, very quickly to your first point, the methodology of admission to the homes by the rules in 9050 is that the veteran or the spouse makes an application, and in statute currently you have to be a resident of the state of Minnesota. So there has to be an establishment. What does that mean in the state of Minnesota? As with all other states, pretty liberal opportunity there. A mailing address, voting, a license, and there you go. So, but furthermore to that, the application is to Representative Lesch's comments, it is to a date stamp, but then to a medical need, so that an individual applies. They say, I'm ready to come in. Some say, no, I just want to make my application, put me over on the inactive list for the time being. And then when and that individual rises, whether they be a spouse or they be a veteran, an assessment is done by the rules, by utilization board, as it pertains to ADLs, and as to whether or not the individual can or cannot meet those criteria for admission. And, you know, there are times when a resident, or I should say an applicant, is capable of demonstrating that they can do ADLs sufficient to live independently on their own. So do I make, you know, do I get up? Can I dress myself? Can I cook? If I'm a female, can I put makeup on? I guess if you're a male, can I put makeup on? All those things. You know, did I drive there? Am I able to catch a bus to get to where I got to go? Those all demonstrate whether or not you have that skill set to still remain independent. And so those are done by the utilization board, and it's based on a medical need and a medical need only. So to your point, Representative, you know, I'm a 70% disabled veteran. I think that Representative Kiso would, you know, would demonstrate a greater need should the two of us be standing side by side and our applications came at the same time. So it is about medical need at this stage of the game. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to clarify, and to your point about the percentages, currently 21% of our veterans, 21% of our wait list is spouses, and 22.6 of that of the total number of veterans on the wait list, 22.6% of them are service-connected. So there's a number of non, as you can see, a large number of non-service-connected veterans that apply and are admitted. Pending your questions, ma'am.
Thank you for that clarification. Thank yes, thank you very much. Representative Nelson.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the minutes from March 5th, 2014 to be approved as printed.
Any additions, corrections? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are adopted. Thank you very much for everyone that testified today. This meeting is adjourned.